it's funny because I don't, that's not actually appealing to me anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel older saying that. And like every once in a while, the moon strikes and the cloud, you know what I mean? Like the moon aligns with whatever.
Yeah, I do.
And I want to shake my ass on the dance floor for sure. Like the fun is still there. It's just more selective.
Yeah. Friends by accident.
Podcast hosts on purpose. This is what you get when two Canadian women who come from completely different backgrounds serendipitously meet in a Brooklyn apartment.
This is Accidental Friends with Lean Deggan and Kristen Mandela.
We literally just had to re-record the intro because we forgot our parts because it has been so long since we've done this together. We are both out of, we're out of it.
We had to like do a little test recording because I was like, I wonder
do we even know how
GarageBand
works? Holy shit. Nice to see you, baby.
Nice to see you. I mean, guys, for those listening, we have seen each other pass, but like not
quite often.
This setting.
No. So it feels kind of our favorite setting to see each other in.
Yeah, it's so nice. We just love chatting. So my friend Angelica and her husband, they use the term jib jab.
Okay.
Ever since I heard it, I am obsessed because I feel like it paints a picture. People just jib jabbing. Jib, 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 jib.
Yeah,
jib,
I do
jab,
feel like that's pretty indicative of our relationship. We
and
love
I
a
love
good jib jab.
I just
I actually feel like it actually hinders our business progress together because I cannot impress upon our audience enough that when we get together for a podcast meeting, the first hour and a half is with like so much jib jab. Like we literally sometimes we'll literally meet up and I'll be like, shit, I only have like 2 hours. And then we jib jab for that entire time. And then I'm like,
I have to go.
And we have not spoken about podcast stuff. I think we've had like 2 podcast meetings that have worked that exact same way. And that is also why it is now August some fucking how. And we have not put out an episode this year.
Last time we recorded.
Last year. Must have been. Have we done it this year?
Was it? I have no idea.
No concept. Time is so nothing to me.
I don't know.
I have no idea. The people will know. And we can just also look at our Spotify and our Apple Music or whatever.
Anyway.
But either way, we've been jonesing to get back.
Yeah,
but one thing that I've also recognized about Al and I is that we're both ideas people. And Chloe, our producer, is the minutia person. Like she's like a project manager. But like when the two people doing the project are ideas people, there's no one to be like, hey, meet at this exact time. And we're going to get this done over
it's
this period.
So
we're
true.
Both just like, oh my God, it's so fucking good to see you. Okay. Ideas. And then we just chat.
Love this idea. Like, love that idea.
But we don't move forward in any capacity
we
at all.
We don't know
all.
How to put it into motion.
Into motion. We're the ideas people.
We're the
and
ideas
that's
people.
Why it's just a miracle that we're here, to be honest.
That's why
but
we're
really
chit-chatting away because we just like have so many ideas that we want to talk about.
Constantly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is just going to be like a nice little easy entry back into Accidental Friends because I feel like we have a lot to catch up on. So we wanted to catch you guys up. And then really talk about like what life's been like so far, right?
Because to be honest, like it's been like 6 months or however many months, whoever knows, it doesn't really matter how many months it's been.
Yeah.
But in those months, X amount of months, a lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
For both of us.
A lot.
And we wanted to kind of do this update, but under the umbrella of chatting about what our 30s have been like so far, because I do think that we have this notion as like a society or whatever that like 30s is like when you get your shit together and whatever, but really it's just another birthday. And I think Aline and I have both realized that our 30s have put us through some challenges and some hurdles.
Definitely.
And we are now better equipped and using more tools and support systems and whatever. But like, yeah, there's just a lot of stuff that has gone thrown our way. And now our lives, I think on both ends, look completely different.
Completely
and
different.
And I'd love to get into it. And I also want to jump into the thing that your friend, like the whole
31. Okay. So my friend Paige has always said this, and I know she's going to listen to this, but Paigey, she has always said, someone told her, I think it was like one of her aunts or something, said 31 is the year of change. So everyone gets really excited / like sometimes people get bummed about turning 30. I loved turning 30 2 years ago. I was like, I'm the baby of an entirely new decade. Like, I love 30. I loved it. And then 31 hit. And 31.
It does hit a bit different. I just turned 31 a few months ago.
Yeah. 31 slapped not in the good way. Like, not the way that the kids are using it. Like, 31 slapped me in my face up until, to be honest, I turned 32.
Right.
So for me, 31 was a big year of change. Like, I say in the negative way.
It was a bit tumultuous.
It was tumultuous. It was like breaking down every single aspect of my life, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in the phase where I'm like excited about things again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like,
and that's, I think, what we want to emphasize is that we get through it.
Yeah.
But do you want to start with your exciting changes? Like, what's been going on in your life?
Of course.
Okay, please.
So I have moved in with Fernando.
Fernando.
I wish I knew the ABBA song a lot better that he was actually named after.
Other than
after,
that I just said.
But
so exciting.
So exciting. Wow. Which is something very interesting that I feel like we can talk about maybe at a later time. But like how I come from a, obviously, that we've all heard, like a more traditional background. Mm-hmm. And so to even the idea of moving in with a partner was actually like a, it wasn't just
pre-engagement.
Like, oh, like I have to, I'm just going to move in. It was a conversation like back and forth. And
you built it up in your head a lot. Your family was pretty wonderful because Fern is wonderful and your parents.
Yeah.
But it was, it's a, the politics of it. Like for me, I wouldn't even think to like, I'd be like, oh, I'm just telling my parents that this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But yours was more of like a, wanting them to be able to digest the topic a little bit and have them be a part of the conversation.
For sure. Because like in my culture, like a lot of people, they don't move in unless they're engaged. Or if they're moving in, there's not going to be an engagement or like the engagement is going to take a lot longer. So that's how I had built it in my head. And my parents, like, they're so funny because they're so progressive in so many ways. And then the one thing that they'll stick on. So that's what I kept focusing on is like they're traditional. They're going to be pissed about this. Like they're not going to support it. They're going to be so upset.
Yes.
And then
I remember we were doing like the pep talks in the group chat. Being
Tell
us how it goes.
I had a conversation with them about it and they were like, well, we still believe in what we believe, but
we
support you because we know you're a smart person and
Which is,
you would make decisions based on what's best for you. And I was like, well, that went a lot better than I
So I didn't have to cry, puke, and throw up before I talked to you.
weird how that works out.
Yeah.
So, but now we're all good. And I find like
– And you're filming this from your condo that you share with
place.
Friends.
Yeah. And I find I have – I mean, they've gotten – they like – they love him. So I'm so grateful for that, which has made it so easy. But I also find that they have – like, I needed to give them a bit of time to digest the fact that it's, like, my daughter is living with her partner.
Yes.
Not engaged. Like, I feel like there's, like
– they just had an order in their head.
Yeah. There's, like, the school of thought that it's, like, well, they should just get over it and they should, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, like, no. They need their space to digest it, too. Like, this is something that's new to them as well. So it was, like, you need to give them the time period to, you know, like – for the first little bit, they didn't even call it my place. They would call it his place.
Right.
And now I find that it's like become
the language.
The language has changed.
Right.
So that's been a big thing and I love it. And now I'm that's a cat amazing. Mom.
I know. Like literally, who is Al?
I have a mug that literally says cat mom cat and I'm mom staring at one of my cats right now. Like,
yeah, it's incredible.
It's wild. Anyway, so that's been like my happy, amazing update that I'm super, super happy about. So
snaps. No, we do love that. And that was a big transition. I remember those conversations happening because it's like, I think depending on your cultural upbringing, depending on so many things, that decision is either not very big or I mean, like, I think either way, when you're making the decision out of like love and excitement to be with the person, it's always kind of a really big, exciting leap. Like that's kind of how Andres and I, even though we don't have like the cultural necessarily like the cultural layers on it, it was still like, it felt like a big change and a big deal in a lot of ways. So even though it wasn't like, oh, it's because we're not engaged or whatever, it was just like, you still have to learn how to live with this person and it changes the dynamic of your relationship. So either way, it's so exciting.
And for me, it was always like a big thing that we had discussions of like me and him had discussions of is that I'm like, when I move into a place, and we've said this on past episodes, we're like, when I move into a place, like that's my home. I'm not moving out of my home.
Right.
So if we weren't even moving towards like an engagement and getting married, and like if I didn't think that he was the one, I wouldn't have even entertained this because I'm like, I don't want to make a home and move into a place and be like, unsure about my relationship as a trial and then have to break up, mourn my relationship, mourn the place I lived, mourn the routines and the habits that I had mm-hmm. in this place. So it has a lot more thought to it than just, there's a lot more thought to it than just like, okay, well, I'm going to move in because, you know, that's just like the next step. Like, no.
And I do think that that's an important thing to avoid.
Yes.
Not that I'm in a place to give advice to anyone, but I do think that like that when it, things are like financially would be beneficial and like, oh, we should just do it to just give it a try. I do think that it should be like an intentional and conscious decision whenever possible, because I think when you don't have the nuance of like financial stress or like feeling pressure, you make it because you truly want to spend more time with this person and build a life and again, build up to like whatever you guys want to be building towards, whatever that might be. And I think that's really nice. So
yeah, that's where I'm at. So Chris, share your news with everyone.
Okay, so just like Al said, everything was thrown in a loop. Things also have been thrown in mine, but also like more intention. Like I did it on purpose. Like I threw a wrench in my own spokes.
Plans.
Life threw a wrench in yours without you asking me to, in terms of like your condo stuff. So Andres and I are moving to Spain. And we are leaving November 2nd of this year, but we're moving out of our place, like the only place that we've ever lived together, September 1st, and new renters are coming in. So we're going to be staying at my mom's condo for the last 2 months of our time in Toronto, and then onwards across the Atlantic. And it feels so surreal. It literally was a decision that we made, like I think on January 1st, we were dog sitting slash house sitting for our close family friends. And I just like had been struggling so much with winter. And I remember we had this conversation where I was like, okay, listen, we have to have a conversation because I don't know if I can do this again. Like, I don't know. I need to have some sort of break from winter. I just felt like I was really struggling with it. And I felt like I was just like living for summer. Like, you know how people are living for the weekends? Like, don't care how shitty my job is. I'm just like waiting for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday vibe. I was doing that, but just for like summer. May till August. And it just felt like the return wasn't refilling my cup to sustain me for the winter anymore. So Andres luckily was very much on board, felt very similarly. He doesn't get affected by the winter so much, but just in general like was ready for a change and for our next adventure. So we have a place in Valencia and we are going to
this is the part I did not know.
Not a forever place but for our first month
for
the first month in November we found a great renter and she seems so lovely. I'm actually going to call her current tenants now to like have a chat because she's like so anyways, very many like a lot of green flags with her and how she's handled the situation because it's obviously a little vulnerable to be honest, being like, hi, we're landing in a country and we're hoping that you don't completely screw us over. But she's like not asking for money ahead of time. And she's like sent us the contact information of people that are staying there now and people that have stayed in the past. Amazing. And she's just like super
that seems legit.
Laid back. And I was I was looking up her name and all the Valencia chats and she's been like very helpful and very communicative in all of the chats to be like, you should try this place out or this whatever. So she's obviously like somebody that lives in the community and like is engaged in the community, and that made me feel a lot better too, obviously. Anyway, super fucking excited, like cannot truly gauge how excited we are. It feels very surreal, but I'm in the midst right now of like, I was telling Al before we pressed record, like the I'm in the trenches of Facebook Marketplace where I'm like trying to sell all of my things. We are renting this place furnished except for a few things like our bed because they want a bigger bed and whatever, but like which is a huge weight off. It makes it so much easier to move. But I am a collector of trinkets. I have so many fucking little trinkets and I'm finding
trinket girly.
Especially because like Dre came in with like I think like four boxes and most of them were just like tennis rackets and tennis like gear? Shoes.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is mine and therefore it is mine to either rehome, sell, or pack away. And it's like a little bit stressful, but it's all good.
I can't even imagine.
Just every day, one day at a time, I'm just like, I have to move one step closer to being emptier, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it is a lot. It feels a little overwhelming some days.
When you like guys today, moved yesterday. To Spain, how long are you guys planning on staying? Like what's the switch?
So we're going in with a year mentality because our idea is basically like we've never been to Valencia. So it's like
– you're going
to
love it.
Know we will. And everyone says like we literally saw a friend last week that was like, oh, it's my favorite city in Europe. Like so many people really love it and they love the energy and the vibe and the size. And that's why we chose it because we like the size and we like the position to the beach. Like stunning.
Amazing.
So I love that you've been there. It gives me a lot of peace as well, just because, like, I do think that our we are drawn to similar energy and places. Like, we really like the same places that we've traveled to. But, yeah, we basically – last fall, we went to Spain and France with Andre's family, and we really just, like, we're taking note of the cities that we really felt like, okay, we're walking around here. This could be kind of our life. And Bordeaux was one of them, and – San Sebastian was one of them. Bordeaux is in France. San Sebastian's in Spain. And both of them were really beautiful, but on the other coast. And we didn't make our way to the other side, to the Mediterranean side. And then we were just doing our little Google search. And it kind of nailed all of our points right on the head.
And so, are you planning on staying in Valencia? Or are you like...
Oh, yeah. I didn't even answer your timeline thing. So we are thinking a year. But we're going into it being like, well, we don't want to put pressure on ourselves just in case, like, we don't end up loving it. I do think that we will. And our idea for now is a year.
Okay.
And then we're just going to go from there.
And then see where the wind takes you.
See where the wind off the Mediterranean takes us.
What a life.
And my other thing is that I'm running a marathon, is that Andres and I signed up for a marathon. And it's kicking my ass.
That's wild.
But honestly, giving a shout out first to Aline, because she ran a half marathon during COVID. And you, no, no joke. You literally trained for it by yourself.
Yeah.
And ran it without any, like, you just ran a half marathon.
Yeah, I raw dogged it. Like, I just.
You raw dogged, like, literally. And now that I'm doing marathon training, I have an accountability group. We have a group chat and a shared album where we post pictures after we do runs to, like, keep everyone motivated.
Good for you guys.
We have a Nike run club thing. Like, I have so many support systems being like, get the fuck up and run. Yeah. I don't know how you did it. I don't know how. Like, honestly, I am actually in awe.
Like, it was in the height of COVID. So, like, yes, I started training in May of 2020 for a run a date that I arbitrarily picked as July 31st. Like,
nice and hot.
I didn't sign up for anything. I just was like, on this day, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run 13.1 miles. Like, I didn't have a sign up or anything.
So that's 21 kilometers?
Yeah, I guess. Bad, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because it's 42 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I ran, like, I found a plan, and I run in, whenever I run, it's always in miles for whatever reason. And I just felt like I needed a goal to work towards. Like, everybody in my life was still pretty much like had their jobs, had their like lives, and I didn't have any of that. So I was like, I need something to work towards, to like accomplish, like something like that. And I was already going out running like every now and then anyway, because gyms were closed, like whatever. So I just found the half marathon was like the best thing. And so it was sick. Yeah, it was great. So I'm glad that I did it. And I think because I've done a half, like, I have no desire to run a full.
Right.
I used to serve, I've told you guys this, but I used to serve this couple at the Keg that ran marathons. Like, they were marathoners. And I was like, oh my God, I think I had run a 10K at that point. I was like, I've ran a 10K. I want to do a half. I want to do a marathon. She's like, honestly, like, once you do the marathon, or once you do a half, like.
The itch goes.
It's, yeah, you kind of like. If you're not a runner and you're just doing it to say that you've done a half or a marathon, like, once you do the half, I think you're good. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then when I did it, I was like, yeah, I'm okay. I don't ever want to run that distance again.
Totally.
But that's amazing.
I'm going to try to do it and then do it again. So we're going to see how it goes. I am feeling a bit of pain and, like, feeling my age. Like, I don't think that I'm not saying that I'm old or anything, but I do think that, like, 5 years ago, my threshold for, like, pushing myself and not worried about injury would be, like, much higher.
Oh, for sure.
And now I'm doing a lot of, like, grandma stretching, and we have, your, like, our little, like, Costco Theragun. You know what I mean? Yeah, and just, like, neck tightness and all that kind of stuff. But I am really proud of myself because I don't have – this is something that I have always struggled with, and I've talked to you about this, but it's, like, the betrayal of myself. Like, I really struggle with follow through. And I will always drop plans or whatever to serve somebody else before myself. Mm-hmm. And it is a way of procrastinating and of me putting myself on the back burner so that I don't have to follow through.
Yeah.
And so this has been really empowering for me because I do have to do the majority of my runs alone because Andre's and I's schedule is so different, especially in the summer. He's so, so busy. So I do have to like get off my ass and go for a run when I, especially when I don't feel like it. And that was something that I struggled with so much in my like regular everyday life. It's like, I don't feel like running. Okay, well then I'm just not going to. And now it's like, well, I actually have to. Like I will be behind. And I was behind for a number of weeks. And now I'm getting back into my rhythm and I'm like, okay, it feels good to like trust myself, like build back that trust to be like,
sure.
If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And that feels really good.
I agree. And like, honestly,
just a muscle that hadn't been flexed in a really long time. You know what I mean? Like that trust with myself was so low.
1,000%. And I feel like that's something that you learn, I find, more in your 30s of like really trusting yourself, really wanting to follow through with your like opinions and your everything.
Totally.
I remember years ago I went to a wedding. Sorry, I went to a wedding and I had told myself that I wanted to work out. It was like a weekend away. And it was like that year that I turned 30. And it was a weekend away, so I brought my gym stuff.
I remember this.
And while all the brides and stuff are getting ready, I had my gym clothes and I only had like half an hour because I had also booked a massage. And they were like laughing at me being like, what are you doing? Like going to the gym, blah, blah, blah. Like it's the wedding weekend, this and that. And I was like, honestly, I just promised myself that I would just so I'm going. That. Just so it's like a tick in the keeping your promises box.
To yourself. And I think that's something that, I don't know, fresh off the Barbie movie, I'm also like,
yeah,
I think that's an important thing. And I have actually a lot of thoughts. I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent.
Okay.
Follow me.
Let's go.
I do feel like, you know how a lot of people in the astrology world talk about how like men are the sun and women are the moon because like men, like suns have like a 24-hour cycle, which is like indicative of men's 24-hour hormone cycles, and like women are the moon because we fluctuate a lot more and we have like a month-long cycle. And it also goes with like how our moods are, where like men can kind of just like go, 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 and women kind of need to like ease and a lot softer and whatever. And sure, that's like whatever within a gender binary, but there are like things that we can take from both things. Anyway, I've been thinking about this because I do feel right now with women in their 30s and the people that I'm observing in my friend groups is that it feels like we're fucking orbiting the sun. We're orbiting the men in our lives a lot.
Okay,
and I don't mean me specifically. I just mean, there's an example that I have where we were up at a cottage and there was a lot of men and women that were there that I didn't know, and we were playing volleyball and all of the men immediately went onto the volleyball court and a lot of the women weren't interested in playing, which I think is a separate thing, like maybe not feeling comfortable trying or just like not being interested in sports, which is totally fair. I wanted to play volleyball, which is fine. But all of the women that were off to the side were all talking about their relationships and talking about their engagement timelines and what they wanted and their wedding timelines and what like about their partners and like either like jabbing at them like whatever or just like talking about whether they live together or whatever. And all of the men, literally, I couldn't tell who was dating who because they made no indication at their partners. And although this is like a really small fleeting example, it just made me realize that at this age, I feel like women are so rewarded for being in a relationship regardless of the quality of the relationship. You and I have talked about this a lot.
Oh my God.
But I do feel like in the conversations that we keep, it is so normal for men to talk about absolutely fucking nothing. They can talk about sports, the last shit that they had, the sandwich that they ate for lunch, any funny story, their buddy getting drunk last weekend. But it's allowed to be silly, goofy, and fun. Women, I find so many of our conversations revolve around our relationships. And I don't know if it's like a chicken or the egg. I'm not trying to get to the bottom of it. But I do find that we are so quick to center our relationships and therefore like center the men in our lives so much more than men are socially kind of pressured to.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with one of my good friends who's recently in a like going through a breakup. And he was just saying how he felt judgment from friends and coworkers and and people in his social circles for leaving a relationship that optically felt or like looked really great.
Wow.
And he was like, how weird is it that like I knew it was the right decision for me, but I feel the social pressure. And he's the one that's in it. And he's the one that's in it. And people are like, oh, well, like, no, like what? Like you're single now, like whatever. And he's just like, what? That shouldn't be the takeaway. Like my relationship status is not the point of the conversation.
Yeah.
And although that kind of goes against my point because it's a guy, but I just think this time in particular when we are kind of hearing the wedding bells and the baby bells and whatever, I just find it really interesting how I'm finding a lot of my women friend talking about dating and like needing to get snatched up. And even their parents, like if we want to talk about some of our girlfriends that are single, their parents being like, okay, like what's going on? And it's like,
what? Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's that time.
It's almost like that spinster stereotype where like people are worried that women are like not going to get, I don't know.
I know.
It's just like very reminiscent of old times for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like not actually about being happy or being fulfilled or being in stable, loving, committed relationships. It's just like not being single so that you're not like a burden to other people or something. And I'm like, this is like fucking toxic.
Well, I mean, especially at this time because like everyone's getting engaged. Everyone's getting married like during this time that – it's a lot. And I remember something I found so interesting is my dad said this to me when we were on vacation in April. We went with my whole family, parents, like my nephew, my brother, my sister-in-law, mm-hmm. my partner. And Fernando was sitting by the shore with my mom. And it was me, my dad, and my brother in the water. And I haven't brought guys home. Like, I never really shared about my dating chronicles with my parents, right. obviously, because I was like, I say this, like, this is my line that I'm like, I was dumb enough to date them, but I was smart enough not to bring them home.
Yes.
And so with, right? Like, so with him, my dad made a comment of like, you know, my mom was never worried about like, am I going to find somebody? Am I going to get married? She was like, it's going to happen. Like, I'm really not stressed about it. My dad was a little bit more like, oh, I would love for her to find somebody, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, I always worried when you didn't like bring people home or like, you know, date anybody that we heard about. He's like, but now that I've met him, I get why you waited. And I was like, yeah, like you don't like I was 30 when we met. And that is in some people's eyes extremely old. And that right. is in other it's people's not. Eyes. Yeah. And that is in other people's eyes, like very young. You hear stories about people meeting at 35, 36. You hear people who are like living apart from their partners and like the happiest totally. People in the world. Like it really doesn't look any certain way. And I feel like that's what we're going to see in our 30s. Whereas I feel like our 20s were about.
It was like, a little bit of a comparison as the thief of joy was yeah. sometimes the theme of my 20s. And I think I totally resonate with what you just said in terms of like, it doesn't have to look any particular way. No. And if that's the only takeaway that anyone that's listening to this podcast takes away, I hope yeah. that it's that. It's that comparison is the thief of joy, and that what our relationships, lives, work, whatever looks like, it mm-hmm. doesn't have to resemble or take after what you're seeing in your friend groups, in your family structures, in anything, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you have to turn down the volume of other people's voice of mm-hmm. judgment and whatever, and turn up what you actually feel inside is authentic to you. Because I do feel like right now another pattern that I'm seeing is this keeping up with the Joneses of like, well, the next step is engagement. Oh, well, the next step is having a baby. Oh, well, mm-hmm. the next step is this. I'm like, not that I have people, like I don't have direct examples. I'm just saying I'm feeling that and seeing that across social yeah. media and across like our wider friend group. Of just like, I always wonder in those moments, I'm like, is that actually where what? We all feel like we need to be? Yeah. Or is it because we think it's time based on other people's timeline? You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. I'm sure it's a little bit of both.
For sure.
I just think as much as you can tap into your own guide, that's going to lead you
and I best, think, and I think that we're going to see that, like, I feel like in the
with 20s, our generation, like, I think big time.
For sure. And I feel like in your 20s, like, this is what I'm finding the most different is, like, when you had a different, like, life than someone else, it felt very evident. Because it was like, yes. okay, people in your 20s, like, they're either dating, they're getting engaged, they're this and they're that, they're building their careers, whatever.
And like, I think for Toronto, building your careers, like, I always felt like you and I, that's where our yeah. through line was like, we were both, you were going in a creative field, I was going a travel kind of yeah. way. And the instability and, like, the flux of, like, working yeah. at restaurants and then taking contracts and whatever. And everyone was like, that's your what? Job? And you'd yeah. be like, yeah, bitch. Like, it's not that complicated. Job. And also then, all those people that probably hate their jobs now. So
totally. And there's like all going to be, I feel like there's going to be a shift of people who are like going into the creative fields. But then I feel like if you look at people in their 30s, like you are going to see different lifestyles. Like, you're going to see people who have gone the traditional, like, marriage, kids. You're going to see people who are married with no kids. You're going to see people who are just lifelong partners. Like, you're going to see all of it. And that's not going to be weird or different. It just is going to be.
And I just think at the end of the day, you have to tap into who you're doing it for. And it has to be for you and for the life that you feel like you really want to live.
Yeah.
Because we only get to do this once. Not sure if everyone knows that. We can only do it one time.
Everybody has a secret of how to do it twice. Let us know.
Literally, yeah. But I think this idea that is so ingrained in previous generations, and that's where I think that resentment comes out with, like, the older generations too, of like, well, I had to work at jobs I fucking hated, so what's your excuse? I'm like, right, but you also worked so hard so that we didn't have to do those kind of things, like, lest you forget, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't take it for granted, but I think it's an important conversation of, like, we don't have to, or we shouldn't have to just be constantly doing what is expected of us and doing what we think we should be doing rather than what is actually authentic to us.
And
like, within
I feel,
reason, obviously, like, pay your rent and, like, don't be like a, you
we know. Also had this conversation before we press record, but it's like you feel like you have less time in your 30s, and not in the like, oh my god, I'm so old, like, I have less time to live kind of way, but like, your calendars fill up so fast.
I am booked and busy, dude.
And it's like, how did that happen? Like, you don't even know how it happens, but it just does. And so, like, you don't even have the time to stop and think about, like, what are Susie and Joe over there doing? Like, who
totally
cares?
It is a bit more liberating that way. And your friends have to get honed down. Like, I have so many, like, my younger brother, like, he has so many weddings, so many friends, so many this. I'm like, honestly, I feel like once you get past a threshold, it starts to wean down and your circle gets – well, you go through more in life as you get older. And then those people that stick through those things, they don't go anywhere. And it becomes way easier to maintain those friendships. It becomes a lot more stable.
Yeah.
And I think your circle naturally dwindles. So, like, obviously, I'm still booked and busy and, like, very – I'm trying to be intentional, especially with our numbers kind of – our days are counted down towards moving. But it is a lot to juggle with just, like, a regular everyday life. But I think I'm also way more intentional with who I want to spend my time with.
Yeah.
And that frees up a little bit of mental space, if that makes sense. Like, I'm very busy, but it's, like, with people that I want to be spending time with.
Absolutely.
A lot more, which is great. Rather than being like, oh, I got invited to this wedding of this person that I went to university with that I partied with at, like, two keggers. You know what I mean? And that's like, I'm just going to be saying no to
thanks.
That one probably. Thank you so much.
I also find in my 20s I went out, like, so much more. And it was also because I was
single.
How did
we drink so much?
I was like – people would ask, like, how are you doing that? How are you going out? I always used to have a friend that would be like, I don't understand how you're going out at, like, 11 o'clock at night, like, after you've worked. And I'm like, because a man is not going to break into my house.
Yeah.
You know, and that's terrifying, number one. Like,
yeah.
And start to date me. Like, I have to go out to meet people. And it's
like. And also, we were having fun.
Yeah. And you make it fun and, like, you make it enjoyable. I didn't see it as a chore. I was like, I have to go out to meet people because otherwise I'm not going to meet people.
Right.
And.
But also, we did have the energy for it.
Of course. You're in your 20s.
Like, we. Yeah. I remember I used to, like, finish working a 10-hour shift at the restaurant, like, would get off at, like, 10 p.m., bring extra clothes in my bag, and then go to a pre. And now I'm like. That's insane.
That sounds horrible.
It is kind of a relief, though, to have my energy shift, because I was always worried about this idea of FOMO and, like, missing out and just, like, feeling like, oh, I'm getting older. Like, it just sucks. Like, I can't party like I used to. And now that I'm, like, not really drinking and, like, my energy has shifted and, like, I'm doing all these other things, I'm kind of like, oh, it's funny because that's not actually appealing to me anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel older saying that. And, like, every once in a while, the moon – strikes and the cloud, you know what I mean, like the moon
do I
aligns
shake my butt
whatever,
yeah I do
and I want to shake my ass on a dance floor for sure, like the fun is still there, it's just more selective, like I'm just not willing to hang myself
you don't
out
feel
dry
you have
and
to
ruin
go
the rest
Friday
of my
Saturday.
Weekend yeah
so I
in
have,
university it was Wednesday to Sunday which is
for sure
absolutely
my, one of my older mates in university, her sister, she was 7 years older than us. So when we were like 21, 22 even when we had graduated, she was like 29 and I think she was married or like getting married.
Okay.
And we would hear her talk about how she's like, yeah, like I just don't have that desire to like go out anymore, blah, blah, blah. And us at like 21, 22,
we're like
I hope we never get there. That sounds awful. And now that
like,
I'm 32,
so
I'm like, I'm like, we can't start a new TV episode at 10 p.m. because it'll finish by 11 and then we won't get in bed at a reasonable time.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
You know? So, okay, Chris, you're still in your 31st year. What I is am. Like a change that you're looking forward to? I guess Spain would be your...
Yeah, I think...
Change of scenery?
There's a definitely change of scenery. I think that's going to be a really big challenge because obviously I don't speak the language and culturally there's just things that I'm like less accustomed to.
Right.
Dre is like far more accustomed. A, he speaks the language, like he's fluent in Spanish. And he being around like his mom who is from Madrid and just like his grandmother as well has like a lot more familiarity with like the cultural nuance that is Spain.
Yeah.
Spain is like a very, I mean, it's a very big country filled with like a lot of different regions that are also very separate from one another.
Yeah.
But I just feel like there's a lot of learning that I'm going to have to be doing. And I'm very looking forward to getting out of my comfort zone. I'm very looking forward to immersing myself in Spanish and pushing myself. I mean, after the year, I really hope that I'll be getting to like a intermediate advanced level of Spanish for sure. That would just be like my absolute dream.
Yeah.
I think the other changes that I feel like are coming are honestly just like with my boundaries, my communication, and my willingness to like put myself first and not in like a selfish way, but in like a way that actually benefits myself and the other people around me.
Yeah.
I think I have done a lot of self-sabotage and it like hinders my relationships. It hinders my friendships. It hinders myself, like my own health even.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think now I'm at a point, especially with this marathon training, as almost like a catalyst for that, where I do feel a lot more empowered to kind of stand up for myself and just like confidently be me.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people assume, and maybe this is, I don't know if this is true, but like I think a lot of people look at me or have looked at me and been like, oh my God, she's like confident or whatever. But I live like so in my own head. My mom always tells me, she's like, girl, get the fuck out of your head. She doesn't swear. She would say fudge, but she says to get out of your head a lot. That's and cute. I do operate like I'm so intellectually like,
you're
I'm
always
trying
thinking.
I'm trying to intellectualize my emotions all the time. Like I'm always thinking of like, oh, I wonder why I did that. I like, you know what I mean? It's like, look, chill.
Just chill out.
And I think that's – I'm slowly getting to a place where I'm trusting my intuition more and I'm not just like hyper-focusing on what I'm doing as much. And I'm like, if people think this is lame, if people think this is cringy, if people think me putting myself out there is annoying or whatever, like it has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always say those things, but I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like I'd be like, yeah, like whatever. It's a them problem. But like secretly I'd be like, oh my God, that fucking
they're thinking
my
feeling. Like,
And now I'm like, oh, honestly, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything, I want to be happy and I want like a life that I feel like is representative of that. So
and you will that never feels really good. Get shit from people who are doing better than you.
Honestly,
you will never.
Fair. Right.
You will never people Oof, doing better
I
than you.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, you will never make fun of you cuz they'll be like, "Oh, I've been there." They will never make fun of you. You will always get made fun of, get the cringy whatever's anything like that from people who are doing worse than you. Not even on the same level
or
as
at
you,
least
worse
feel
than
it.
You.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
well, I do like that. And I do – not that I need to be – it doesn't need to be a superiority thing. I just think I need to let
go of
this
idea. It's not. It's just you need to remember that, like,
totally.
If you're, like, going towards something, if you're reaching towards something, you're like, that's where –
the people
that
are already there
– that's what I want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
The people that are already there are not making fun of the fact – they're not making fun of their own step four when they're on step 100. Like, they're not doing that because they're like, well, I needed to be
– and I knew what that was like when I was there.
Someone who has X amount of TikTok followers or Instagram followers or like the social media following or whatever it is, they're looking at you being like, I needed to go through that to get to where I am. So that's just a necessary part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really love that. Thank you for sharing that. And I do think that like that's also what's leading me into wanting to start a YouTube channel about our move to Spain.
Do it.
Because I think like longer form video is really fun. I really love editing videos and I think that would just be really fun to try and experiment with. And I also just think what we're going to be experiencing and stuff could be helpful to other people.
Yeah.
So if anyone listening would like to watch my YouTube channel, let
me
know because I – perfect. And I'll do it just for you. Actually, though, I would do it just for you.
Follower.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of where I'm at, where I'm like, I just kind of want to create.
Yeah.
And I want to – build a life for Dre and I that we can both be really proud of.
Yeah.
And I also want to honestly become the person that Andres sees me as, because I know he always sees me like 10 steps ahead of who I am. Like, he sees my potential before I can see it.
Right.
And I also want to be somebody that brings in a lot of financial security for us so that he can also stop working so hard, because he has taken like the brunt of
right.
like financial stress and whatever, just because A, he's way better. He's way more financially literate than me, and he's in a better financial position than me. So I feel like he has like unconsciously been like this workhorse for us.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for a time where like that dynamic doesn't have to be that way. He can just like be a bit more chill and put his feet up, his stinky, stinky feet.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
So like, comment, subscribe. But seriously.
I will follow.
Okay.
I will follow you. I will do it.
Anything else that you want to share about your 32nd year? Any, like, I know usually we do one like at the beginning of the year talking about whatever, but as we're wrapping up our episode, what's
my 32nd year? I'm really excited. I started therapy.
Yes.
Yes. You did. I did.
I'm so proud of you for that, by the way.
Thank you. I just feel like the shitty year that I constantly talked about, I feel like last year, it got me good. It really got me good. And I feel like this is what I said to my therapist, Vavina, shout out. I'm obsessed with her. I said, I feel like a dimmed down version of myself. Like, I feel happy, but not as happy as I have in the past.
The pendulum doesn't swing as wide.
Yeah. Like, it's just kind of sitting like kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's more that I could be doing and giving, in the sense of like more joy and happiness, not like more productive wise. Like,
right.
I just feel like all of the shit that I went through in the last year feels like it's just caught up with me. And now I'm like, just this.
You need to recalibrate.
Yeah. Like, I feel like a dimmed down version of myself. That's probably the best way I can describe it. Like, I just feel my sparkle has gone out a little bit, and now my girl Vavina is going to help me get it back.
Get it back.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I'm super, super excited about that. I already feel like less stressed than I did literally a year ago. Like, I know exactly where I was a year ago, and it was not in a great place. I was really unhappy at my job. Financially, I felt like I was like struggling a little bit. So I just felt like I was like not in a great place. And already I'm like, oh, that's so not me now.
Amazing.
But I was saying, I'm like, because I feel content and happy now, I feel like I want to go into therapy where I'm not like, this specifically happened, and I can just like talk about life in general through that lens.
Right.
And she's really cool, so she can help me sparkle a little bit more, you know?
I love that.
Because your girl wants to sparkle.
I mean, I will say that I think on a normal day you sparkle than more than the average person. Appreciate you. So even if you are a little lower than usual, it's still higher than the average, and you light up every room you walk into.
Oh my gosh.
But I am that. It's true. But I am really proud of you, because I know that it's a very vulnerable position to go, like, to be in. And yeah, I'm just excited to see where it takes you.
Me too. I'm really excited. I've had two sessions. And let's let's go. Booked a third.
Amazing. I'm so happy to be back. I keep like looking at your little video and I'm like just smiling.
You know what I'm really excited about for therapy? I'm excited to make therapy jokes. Or I'm excited when people are like, oh, my therapist said this. I'm like, oh, fuck. I used to like be like, that's cool.
And I'm like, now you're like, I get it. Like, you like all those memes where you're like, oh my God, so real good.
Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, Vavina's going to hear about this. Anything 100%. That the slightest thing that bothers me, I'm like, oh, Vavina's going to get an earful.
Yeah.
Poor Vavina.
Like, make a notes app of just like.
She's going to hear about everything. 100%. Anyway, this was really fun for us.
Sure. Boy, was it ever. I hope that it was fun for you guys listening. We do sincerely apologize for the huge break. Again, we're ideas people. We're not planning people. We talked about never taking a break. The last time we were recording, we're like, we're just going to keep going. And then 6 months went by. So we do apologize. Mm-hmm. Please don't take it personally. It is 100% our brains. But we do really love doing this together, and we love doing it for you out there. So very, very happy to be back.
So happy.
I'm also really excited, because I think this is going to be very cool to document like our transition through like you continuing with therapy and moving in your new place, and me being able to go to Spain. Mm-hmm. It'll just be cool to keep in touch that way.
I know. I'm really excited.
Me too.
I'm excited. And if you guys ever like have any things you want us to talk about. I feel like we do get messages sometimes of like, can you talk about this and XYZ? We love that so much.
100%.
So always feel free to send us a DM over on Instagram, on our like Accidental Friends page, or even on our personal pages.
Yes.
And we would be happy to have a nice little jib jab about it.
As always, we're always in for a jib jab.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll see you soon, Al.
Can't wait.
This has been Accidental Friends with Aline and Kristen. This podcast was created by us and produced by Chloe Jackson. Thank you so much for listening. You can check us out on Instagram, Accidental Friends Podcast, and on TikTok, Accidental Friends. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. We love you, and we'll see you next Thursday.